play 92.3 The Fan, but oh, wait.
There's wait?
More. There's wait, and there's more.
There's some more?
Yeah, you can find us, 92.3 The Fan, on YouTube.
Yes.
And it includes all the shows here.
Everybody's
Carmen,
on there.
Carmen Lima, 6 to 10 a.m. Baskin Phelps, 10 to 2. Wilson Peterlin, 2 to 7. Each and every weekday on 92.3 The Fan's YouTube channel. You can subscribe to that channel for free, and then you can watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan, live and on demand right now.
And you've got a new way to talk to us, too, as well, because we're going to watch the stream that's going on YouTube as well. And I'm looking at the chat box saying hi to people like Tempe1D and Go Buckeyes. I don't know.
So they want to flip us off, they can just put a little emoji
and
there.
And then there are people that don't like us. I'm trying to find them. I'll even say hi to them, too. I don't even know who they are. I can't find. There were a bunch of people on there that were. You're just rattling something about, oh, another. There was a thing about Stefanski that we, like, oh, Stefanski apologists. I don't know that we've apologized, or if we haven't said anything, we can't. Sorry that we have the opinion that we actually like the guy and we think he's going to be successful in the league somewhere else. And there were times when we were irritated with him, too. And now it's a fresh start for everybody, because at some point you got to turn the page. Kevin is no longer the head coach. They're going to have another head coach, and you're going to move forward, because it doesn't really matter who the head coach is. They're still the Browns, and they're the team we grew up with, right?
They're the team that we watch every Sunday, Andy.
That's right. What happens if they get better and they play on Sunday night or Monday
One thing,
or Wednesdays or Thursdays or Fridays?
Doing this Saturday forever.
Yeah.
It always cracks me up how people so personally attack anybody.
Yeah.
Because they have an opinion on sports.
Yeah, I mean, like, most of your opinions are wrong, but I still appreciate them.
Sure, and I thank you for that.
Yeah.
You know, what an idiot that guy is. Well, okay.
Oh, there we go.
I had an opinion about sports.
An apologist for that. Wait a second. He said Shedeur Sanders had a good throw. Oh, man, I hate Shedeur. That's a horrible take. Or, oh, man, I think Shedeur can really do some things. It's like, oh. I'd love it. You know what I love even more?
Tell me.
When we bring Dan Menigan in to give us a little NFL rapid fire. Hi, Dan.
Greetings. All right, gents, let's begin with the week that was. There was a lot of win and get in and all sorts of stuff in between there. We'll start on the Saturday as the Carolina Panthers lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and yet somehow made it into the playoffs. So they got that going for them, which is nice.
How did that happen? It was weird. I'm watching Baker one day. He's excited. Next thing I know, see you later.
Yeah, you're right. That one geared up to be a really good game and then went right into the dumpster.
Yeah.
And the weather was just terrible.
That's probably what did it.
You know, poor people sitting under those plastic ponchos in the downpour in 66 degrees. That place had to stink.
It's a bad. I can remember there was an Outback Bowl I covered there and it was pouring. I also remember covering a Browns preseason game there. It was pouring, man. Like, they get tons of rain down there. It's brutal.
Gulf Coast will get you.
Yeah. And it's not like, it doesn't come down like it does here. Like, okay, maybe we get a little bit of a pour, and that's the end of it. Man.
One word.
Dome. Oh, dome. Good point, Jeff.
Thank you.
Guess we won't feel that air anymore soon in the upcoming
The other
days.
Big win in your in game was the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football.
A game
that was
game.
Sloppy and then turned really good at about the fourth quarter of that game.
That was a great game.
That was an old-fashioned AFC Central game. It really, I walked away from that. I said to Jeff when he walked in, I go, did you watch that game? That's how the Browns used to lose in Pittsburgh all the time. Back when they're, and then I'm like, oh, look, it's Baltimore. Yeah, I guess that's the way it plays out. I thought that was one of the best games of the season.
It was really enjoyable.
So
Lamar Jackson has played really well in some of these big games, and his team has let him down. Remember the Mark Andrews drop?
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Loop missing a field goal. Although teams now think, oh, good. We got a 44-yard field goal. That's no problem.
Yeah, that was interesting how they used that play to set up the field goal there instead of trying to move the ball forward and make it easier.
It's weird. You're right.
It's
weird.
No problem. Rookie game-winning situation. Playoffs on the line. He's got this. Maybe not.
How long were the extra points for the Browns?
48 yards.
Two of them. Much.
Yeah. Well, he's a cornerstone of the franchise and one of the great offseason moves.
Jeff, he only cost you one win, if you think about it. I think.
Sorry.
One.
So, let's look at the AFC playoff picture a little bit.
Okay.
It's as wide open as you could possibly imagine. Every team has some kind of tragic flaw. Do you put the Pittsburgh Steelers as a possible Super Bowl contender, or do you think that they're one and out? I mean, they got the quarterback, they got the wide receiver, the offensive line is good enough. The defense has been poor, but has had success in the past.
Like,
they run the ball well. Like, you could kind of build the narrative where they find themselves into a Super Bowl, or at least in an AFC championship game in a really, really flawed AFC. Do you buy this?
And in the worst case scenario, if you want to look at them this way, they have a really smart quarterback, right? Is Aaron Rodgers not smart? I think he's a smart quarterback. I don't care how old he is.
And I don't know if people have noticed, he played pretty darn well down the stretch. He didn't play like vintage Aaron Rodgers, you know, Green Bay, but he played pretty darn well down the stretch. And can he turn back the clock for another 60 minutes? You bet he can.
If they can beat the Texans, I think they can beat the Broncos too.
I would agree with that.
Right now, in your eyes, who are the clear favorites in the AFC?
That's a good question.
I want to say the Patriots. I just can't. I want to, and I can't, even though the Bills are the sixth seed, how do you rule out the Bills?
Josh Allen's a little banged up, and that defense is bad.
I just think Josh Allen gives him a chance when he walks on the field, even if the defense is bad. I don't know. Who do you like?
Mr. Phelps?
I'd like to say the Patriots, but I can't do that. I'm still looking at Buffalo, and I think the Chargers are a dark horse here. If they can get past New England, they'd play the winner of the Buffalo Jacksonville game, and I would think they'd have a chance to win that game. But I don't think it's going to be Pittsburgh, and I don't think it's going to be Houston.
If I
had to guess, comes out of that other side: Patriots, Chargers, Buffalo.
All right, so here's the other thing. If for some reason it is the Patriots, February 9th, every phone call on this station is going to start with, "Why did we let Vrabel out of the building?" Every phone call. Even if they just make it to the Super Bowl, every phone call, "Why did we let Vrabel out of the building?"
Write it down.
February 9th, if for some reason the Patriots can go win the whole thing.
So we found ourselves in a position at the end of the season. Once again, and this happens, I would say yearly. It's probably a yearly tradition where a division winner is going to host a playoff game against a team with a better record than they had in the season that we all sat and watched. I mean, the Carolina Panthers have made the playoffs going 8-9, and they are about to have the Rams come into their building. Is this a problem? Do we see this as some kind of problem that needs to be fixed by the NFL? Do they need to go like kind of how the NBA does things, where it's just stack them up 1-7? Or is this just like, it's the way of the world?
As long as you're going to play a divisional format that's as tight as the NFL's is, in other words, you're playing each of the other teams in your division six times, or combined for six games in the division, then your division winner needs to be in. If you want to throw that away and just you play each one of those teams once a year, something like that, and then mix it up, then you could change it. But if you're really going to do divisional play and play each team twice, then yeah, your division winner should get in.
It should get a home game, is what you're saying.
Why not?
I mean, obviously you're in. It's the should you get the home game part of it.
Why not?
I mean, the Texans are 12-5. The Steelers are 10-7. Do we give the Steelers credit for having to play the Browns, the Ravens, and the Bengals? Because by giving them a home game, you're giving them credit for the teams they play against.
I think
you're right, Jeff. I hate to argue with you on this and not argue with you this because I'm the one that said we should debate this. But as long as you're going to play teams twice, you should be able to be rewarded.
You won something.
Yeah. You should be rewarded with a home game in the first round of the playoffs. Yep. I agree.
All right, gentlemen, let's look at the NFC side of things. Who do we like in the NFC? Are you just circling the Seahawks as the number one seed? Seem to have everything together? Do we look at maybe this Eagles team, that they're kind of the sleeping giant that might be getting things together at this point? Maybe the Rams are you're taking? Maybe the Niners starting to get healthy? Who do you like in the NFC? Because that seems like more of a gauntlet.
The winner of the Seahawks-Rams game. Because I expect the Rams to beat the Carolina Panthers. And if ask me to pick one right now, I'll take the Rams. But Matthew Stafford had a year like
people haven't seen in a long time. Led the NFL in touchdown passes by a bunch. Didn't throw many picks. Davante Adams has missed three games in a row. He's going to come back healthy. They sat him to make sure that hamstring's okay. He has Puka. They have a good running game. They have two guys who run the ball well, Kyren Williams and Blake Corum. And they play three tight ends a lot. And I think they're going to be, and I think their D's pretty good. I think the Rams are going to be really a tough out. And if they get Seattle, if they get past Carolina and get Seattle, that to me might be the best playoff game we're going to see.
I'm going to stick with Seattle. I've been with them for probably about a month right now. I do think having home field advantage throughout the playoffs makes a difference, especially when you are Seattle. Everyone's got to go at least, 3 hours to get there, no matter where they play. And it's a haul to get to Seattle because Seattle makes that haul everywhere else, too. So go on, Sam Darnold. Come on. See what the Seahawks can do.
It's my guy,
I'm telling you, being at home when you're Seattle makes a difference because you are on an island. Jeff, you did travel to Sonics games and stuff, didn't you? A couple Sonics
games? I've never been to a Seattle Supersonic.
Oh, you never went to a Sonics game? I know that Seattle is just like, it might as well be another continent.
I was in Seattle a couple of months ago.
Yeah, but I mean, do you get it? The travel there is different.
Yeah,
it's not easy to get to.
It's a tough flight.
Yeah.
It's the outpost of our country.
Oh, it is the outpost of our, I love that. Yes.
Welcome.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. The very end of this, at least right now, we will not revisit our preseason picks because I don't want to talk about it.
I don't remember them. Do you?
Oh, I minor disaster zone. I had a Super Bowl between the Lions and the Ravens, and neither one of the teams even made the playoffs.
So I might have been with you.
Even.
Nice job, man.
I might have been with you if that makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Well, at least one of your teams is in there.
Yeah, there you go.
I got that going for you, which is nice.
A solid six.
I think I had Seattle, Denver.
Right now, give me your final four and give me your Super Bowl winner. If you would like, I could go first to buy you a little bit of time.
You go first.
All right.
Oh, Jeff wants to go first.
Mr. Phelps, the floor is yours.
NFC. Oh, you mean Final Four all the way around. I'll go Rams against the Eagles in the NFC.
Okay.
And I will go Broncos against the Bills in the AFC.
That was my four.
Really?
That was my exact four.
Man, have we spent too much time
together? Yeah, we talked too much to each other. We need
to
talk to other people.
You do talk to each other. Now I can't remember what Jeff said. I'm going to go.
I went Rams and
Rams-Eagles.
Eagles.
Yeah, which is what I was looking at. I think Sam Darnold short circuits.
49ers are beat up. If they weren't beat up.
Duct tape, chewing gum, and twine.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan does it again.
Plus Bosa.
All right, but you didn't say you're going Rams. I'm going Seattle. I'll go Seattle. Philly. I'll go Seattle, Philly on one side. I'll go. Man, I just. For some reason, I think the Broncos are going to get that game against the Steelers or Texans. Just kind of roll through that.
Oh,
so,
that's. That makes sense.
And then I'm going to go Broncos, Patriots.
Okay.
And then. I'm going to go Patriots, Seahawks. Seahawks.
Seahawks win the whole thing. Mr. Phelps, who wins the whole thing?
Rams.
I will go the Buffalo Bills win the whole thing.
Hey, there
you
go.
I think Josh Allen gets over the hump.
Happy.
That's my boy right there.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen gets over the hump. If he's not going to do it this year, I don't think it's going to happen. I will take the Bills to win the whole thing, though. If the Rams win the whole thing, I would not be surprised.
They could use some wide receiver help.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. I know we talked a lot about football over the last 2 days. Talked about the Browns coaching search, talked about the Browns. Needing a new head coach, there are some other things we do want to get to. And maybe you guys can help me out a little bit with this. So the Guardians, DFA, John Kenzie Noel, and then he gets picked up by the Orioles.
Designated for assignment.
Okay. DFA'd. Is that better?
I get DFA'd.
So he ends up with Baltimore following the Guardians bench coach, Greg Albernaz.
Claim him on waivers.
Who's their new manager. And... So now I'm just wondering, but then I started reading that he may never even see. I mean, they're loaded. Why would they pick him up, Dan?
Big man hit ball far.
Triple A depth.
Manager's choice?
Yeah. I think all that stuff plays into it.
It makes me think that he's the guy that the manager gets to pick a guy. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Not like we haven't seen that here, right?
Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
Hey,
Dan just said it. He can smash it if he hits it.
Yeah, did they make maybe he ends up back here? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably bring him into spring training, see what it looks like, go from there.
If he ends up back, is that what you think the Orioles are doing, though? They're taking him to spring training. If he makes it, he makes it. Yeah. He doesn't. I mean, there's a good shot that he doesn't. He doesn't make it.
He's in AAA for the Orioles, and he's a phone call away.
Yeah. All right, so big.
It is interesting that a power hitter,
yeah,
that our team doesn't develop real well,
yeah,
gets designated for assignment and gets picked up by a team that's actually spending some real dollars and assets trying to compete this year. I don't know if it's telling one way or the other, but I did scratch my head. I thought, wait a minute, Orioles have gone nuts.
Today would be a good day for
brought in Pete Alonso, brought in pitching, Shane Bass.
Wouldn't today be a good day for the Guardians to go out and make a big signing, spend a lot of money?
Be wonderful.
What do you think? Any chance of that happening? You're Mr. Look into the crystal ball.
My guy Reese Hoskins is still out there, isn't he? Reese hasn't signed with anybody.
He has not. Heck, Kyle Tucker's still out there. We're going to real dreamland.
Guardians, come on, man. We got 36 minutes on the air. Go do something so we can talk about you.
Reese Hoskins.
If you build it, he will come?
No, I don't know.
It's already built?
Just seemed like the thing to whisper.
Cavs, Pacers. Another story I wanted to kind of touch on.
Poor Pacers, man.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about just like falling off the face of the earth. Well, I mean, obviously injuries. I know, but still, you would think, okay, you could be mediocre.
Halliburton was the straw that stirred that drink. They'll be back next year.
I don't know. And how are we feeling about the Cavs right now? I was feeling good, then I kind of take a step back, then I feel good, and I'm taking. I mean, they are 20-17, right?
Yeah, but take a look at the teams. Take a look at where they are. Take a look at the teams above them. Take a look at the teams behind them. And if you feel good about the Cavs in the playoffs, you're being really optimistic.
Right now, I don't.
You shouldn't feel bad about them.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The season started last week, right? Christmas was last 2 weeks ago. So the season just started. I know you hate when I say that. There are two things when I say the NBA season really starts at Christmas, and really sometimes all you need to do is watch the last 2-3 minutes of an NBA game, and you can feel good about what you're watching. Get a good feel for the entire game. It's when all the good excitement hits. He hates when I say that. And now he's putting on a show for the YouTube fans, which we don't do around here. Cavs sitting, 7.5 back? It's still not crazy. I just hate the fact that they, like, anytime I see a bar above and a bar behind the Cavaliers, when I look at the standings, I get a little nauseous because I can't stand the play-in tournament. So find yourself, you're a half game out of that 6 seed.
Because it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Dangerous.
If you're a good team.
The Cavs have to figure some things out. And I think this is the last year to figure it out. You know, if you can't make it work with the team that's in place right now this year, well, you're going to have to bust it up.
I don't think you have a choice. Your second apron, you are who you are. That's it. You are who you are. I can't see them making it.
This year, you're going to have to bust it up.
Yeah. But what does that mean work this year? Get to the NBA Finals?
I get past the second round.
Just get to the championship.
The very least, get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Are you surprised at Detroit, by the way?
No. Cade Cunningham's a beast.
Beyond Cade Cunningham, though, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, J.B. Bickerstaff, whatever, we'll see you later.
J.B.'s a good coach.
I mean, if I'm correct, there's only two teams in the league that don't have 10 losses, and Detroit is one of them. Thunder's the other.
J.B.'s a good coach. Is he a great coach? I don't think so. But how many guys are great coaches in the NBA? There are several, but Greg Popovich was a great coach who had great talent. I think Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. Eric wins without great talent oftentimes.
I don't know. I'm ready for the Cavs to like take it to the next level. There are points where I think that they're there, and I just want to see it.
They have to get more out of certain guys. Darius has had a tough time coming back from his injuries. That's to be expected. You know, I mean, it's not like, oh, okay, good, I'm good to go again. You know, he had major surgery on that toe, and that's, if you're a basketball player, you can't push off or whatever. So that's an issue, and Evan Mobley has to take a step. That's on the coaching staff, it's on the other players, and it's mainly on Evan Mobley. He has to be more, I think, a more consistent force.
I'm not going to lie, I'm expecting a ho-hum answer on this, but for a guy that's been around the league as long as you have.
Ho-hum.
What do you think about, especially I was looking at the schedule before we actually came in today, and I was just like, here we go with the, they have Indiana tonight. Then they get Minnesota at Minnesota on Thursday. And then Minnesota comes here on Saturday. And then they play Utah. Then you get, you know, at Philly on Wednesday.
Philly's playing better.
Yeah, but it's not that. It's the back-to-back thing. I'm going to be honest. I don't mind it.
No.
I don't mind it because you play the season and you play one team one night, you play the next team, and then you get to the playoffs and it's a whole different world. I actually don't mind.
Those are home and road, though, aren't they?
Well,
they're not back-to-back in the same spot.
Yeah, the Philly games are both at Philly, yeah.
I always thought this, and it wasn't my money, so I shouldn't have thought this, but I always thought, why don't you do a little series and save some money and save some.
Play it the way they do in baseball?
Yeah, and save some travel. And the travel means two things, money
mm-hmm.
and wear and tear on the guys. You know, and you know, you did NBA travel. I did NBA travel.
NBA travel's crazy.
There's nothing worse for you if you're trying to be a pro athlete. You know, it's bad enough being a broadcaster.
Right.
You get done in an arena. You hop in your car. Let's say it's a home game. Mm-hmm. Drive to the airport. Okay. You mm-hmm. got to hustle out to the airport. Get in an airplane at like 11:30 and fly to Atlanta and get to Atlanta at 2:00 in the morning. Get on a bus to your
hotel,
really ritzy hotel.
Yeah.
And get into the hotel at 3:00 in the morning when you're really still wired.
Yeah.
And then, you know, get to bed at 4:30 and then get up and go to shoot around in the morning if you have one. Or if those guys had to play the next day, that's brutal. So I don't mind the, you know, hey, we're going to play two games. Let's go.
I just think the thought of having to play a team like not best of three, but maybe not a three. I don't even know. You can't even do a three-game series because of the way the schedule is. But to play these back-to-back games, I don't think it's a bad idea.
No. Might not be the best from a competition standpoint. For instance, if you catch Philadelphia when Tyrese Maxey is out, your two games happen to fall when Tyrese is out. Well, good. Advantage for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing I think about it. It can put it, if it happens to be a team that you're competing against for a spot, it might be an edge one way or another. Regardless, if Tyrese Maxey's out two games, if they're both against your team or whatever. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
But that's
the same in baseball or any other series type.
But remember,
minor league baseball went to the long extended formats for travel. I don't know that I love that for minor league baseball, but I mean you're going to play games, and if you play four in a city, you play four in a city or five in the city, and then you get out of there. It's weird. Now the Cavs also have Orlando at the end of the month there, and then here on January 24th and January 26th. And just kind of looking ahead, Dallas will be another one of those group pairings. Miami's a group pairing. Atlanta at the end of the season there in April. So you get a couple of those group pairings. How many years have we been doing this now? Just four, maybe, with the group pairings and the. I don't even know if it's been that long. It's a weird. I like it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but the way it's broken down, it's still kind of hard. We'll see how they bounce back after losing to Detroit. They get Indiana tonight, so and then it's off to Minnesota, and then Minnesota comes over to here over the weekend. Again, obviously, the biggest story going on across Northeast Ohio is the Browns and what's going on with the Browns coaching situation and where we're going now that Kevin Stefanski is out and where they will land next. I'm still curious. I don't have a good feel, Jeff, on what they might do for head coach. I just like no one. I like Jim Schwartz to me is the front runner. I just don't.
He's the front runner in your mind.
To me, he's the front runner. Like he's the one that. And I said it before.
I don't feel that way.
I feel okay. Maybe front runner is the right word. Makes the most sense to me. Schwartz, success, defense. Has been a head coach before, knows what he's getting into, knows what it's like to take a franchise that was really, really bad, got them success. Now, they didn't get the kind of success they wanted in Detroit, but, you know, eventually that kind of carried on, and then they did get success after they let him go. Schwartz ends up here as defensive coordinator, does a fantastic job, but also has one of the best players in the league. Two, maybe, with Denzel, right? So you've got two of the best players in the league. That helps when you're a coach. And how many times did the defense keep you in a game? Yes, they're the game in England, right? Like, kind of sucked. And then, they gave it about 17 times. It's going to happen once in a season, much like your much-heralded kicker now. who blew the first game of the season but came back to win the last game of the season. I can't get a good feel on exactly what direction Andrew Berry's going to want to go. And I don't know that Andrew Berry does after listening to him yesterday. I think they have a pretty much an open mind on where they might go in this, I think. Now watch, 2 weeks later, they'll be like, oh, they knew who their coach was in the middle of the season. Where are they going?
It's so wide open, Andy. I wish I could sit here and give you a real solid thought on it. Part of me thinks, go for the experienced guy. And that might be Schwartz. That might be McCarthy. Hell, that might be Gruden. But ideally, you locate the coordinator du jour or assistant coach du jour, and you find your big-time coach. But that to me can be a tough find, you know?
I don't know where they're going to – I can't get a good feel on it. I know what I would like them to do, and then I also wonder – what kind of a coach you're asking someone to come in and be based on the quarterback situation. And it sounds to me like they're going to give the head coach the freedom to kind of guide where they want to go with the quarterback. Did you get that feeling yesterday? Because I did. I thought they'd give the next head coach some freedom to kind of guide where they're going with the quarterback.
He'll be involved. Yeah. Hmm. You know, I agree with what Mary Kay said when we were chatting with Mary Kay earlier. And she said, you know, this just happened. She hasn't dug into it a ton yet because she's been covering what's going on, you know, with the coaching change. And I think we'll all have a better feel for who might be available, who might be hired, who might be a good candidate, who might be interested in another week or so. And ideally, hire the young guy who is an up-and-comer and he becomes your guy. Ideally, that's it. But boy, I think that might be tough for this group to get.
I'll tell you what, we'll talk about it. There's some folks hanging on the line here in a little bit. We'll talk more about the Browns when we come back. Also, I have one other thought I want to give you when we come back here in a second. 216-474-0092.